Toda vida! Ticos, Costa Ricans, say this all the time in response to buenos dias, muchas gracias, buen día, buen partido, etc. But what does it mean? Well, the loose translation is pure life. But its meaning and use go well beyond that, I think. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Local Folks Podcast, Insert Edition. My name's Bob Madar, and in the next three episodes, they're going to have them be sort of an insert, so to speak. I'm working on a rather large project, but it probably won't launch for a few more months. And so I thought I'd just talk a little bit about the first episode, this episode, a little bit about some things that my wife and I learned in Costa Rica. Christina and I just got home from 3 months in Costa Rica, hanging out with local folks in a different country. And so I kind of thought I might share some of what we learned from the people we met about how to live a rewarding and meaningful life, a pura vida. So to start off with, how did we come to visit Costa Rica in the first place? Well, a few years ago, Christine and I thought it might be a good idea to learn Spanish. We knew we wanted to travel after we retired and figured Spanish would be a good language to learn, especially since we wanted to spend time in Central and South America. And after a fair bit of research, we decided to attend a Spanish immersion program at the SEPA school in San Isidro del General in Costa Rica. From our research, SEPA looked like an excellent school and San Isidro the perfect spot for us. It's a small city in Costa Rica, largely overlooked by tourists. Over the last 2 years, we spent a total of 9 weeks, four in 2018 and five in 2019, we just finished up, in an intense Spanish language immersion program. 4 hours of classroom instruction a day, a homestay with a family that spoke only Spanish, and more homework than I've done since I was in graduate school. After we finished school, we spent an additional month in 2018 near Pavones on the Golfo Dulce. And in 2019, we spent an additional month living near San Isidro, second month back in Pavones, getting back to Oregon early this April. So what did we learn from local folks in Costa Rica about pura vida? Well, as I sit here and reflect and remember, things kind of pop up in no particular order. I remember celebrating a friend's grandson's birthday at his grandma's house in San Isidro, and we did this both years, in 2018 and in 2019. And both years, we arrived early at the grandma's house and spent the morning helping her and two of her friends cook food for at least 20 to 25 guests in a really small, very, very minimalist kitchen. And what fun. Now, we chopped up tons of onions, peppers, tomatoes, and other veggies. We cooked on a small bottle gas hot plate and washed dishes in a sink with a single cold water tap. And the whole time we laughed and joked, told stories, and produced a delicious meal of Costa Rican cuisine. Mango verde de carne molida, arroz con pollo, frijoles negro, ensalada de papas, etc. The kitchen was small, crowded, and hot. And we all had to choreograph our movements so we didn't get in each other's way. And I have to say, everybody was really relaxed and happy, and we enjoyed ourselves thoroughly. Another memory of our first year in Costa Rica and San Isidro, Christina and I volunteered at a local elementary school, La Escuela Aurora. We volunteered in a third grade English class. And on our first day at the school, the principal, Rosie, her nickname was La Flor, gave us a tour of the campus. The school is pretty small, maybe about 200 students, and the facilities were modest by American standards, right down to swing seats and planters made from used tires. The cafeteria was in a separate building, and we stopped by during our tour to say hello to the chef. That was her official title. It's really neat. Obela, little old granny in there in the kitchen with several other women cooking with her. It was really, really neat. Anyway, while we were there and kind of chatting them up, the custodian came in with a big bag, I mean a big bag, of fresh lettuce and a large handful of cilantro. And the principal told us the produce came from the school's organic garden. Then she took us out behind the cafeteria, and there it was. A large garden with lettuce, cucumbers, tomatoes, onions, peppers, etc. She said that a lot of the food used in school lunches came from the garden as a result of a government initiative to improve student nutrition. And she was obviously really proud of that fact. We, Christina and I, ate several lunches at the school prepared by the chef, and we very much enjoyed the simple, fresh food served. I remember going to a festival last year in Punta Banco, a small community near Pavones on the Golfo Dulce. And the purpose of the fiesta was to raise money for sea turtle conservation. Punta Banco is a very small community and near the Panamanian border on the Pacific coast. And through the Punta Banco Neighborhood Association, whose vision is to become a coastal community living responsibly with its natural and social environment, the community has been working to conserve the Olive Ridley sea turtle by identifying and protecting nests. And it was a really cool festival. Ticos, expats were all hanging out together, partying together, we listened to music, watched local ticos and expats ride horses, ate chicharrones ahumado, drank cerveza, and marveled at how proud folks were of their conservation work and how the entire community seemed to be involved. For example, we met a 10-year-old boy who was, in the words of an adult, the best pair of eyes we have for finding tortuga nests on the playa. And he was obviously very proud and invested in what he was doing. And it seemed to me that the entire community was totally supportive of the effort and working very hard together. It was very impressive to me. This year, we made a weekend visit with our host family to Puntarenas, which is a Pacific Coast port about 4-hour drive from San Isidro. And to watch a tournament, a sports tournament of football, volleyball, and basketball for teams from every region in the country. It's really interesting. It's a countrywide league made up of people who work in healthcare professions. Our host, Pops, was is a healthcare professional in San Isidro. And he played on a football team from San Isidro. The tournament was really well attended. I had a lot of people there, and every team had their complement of supporters cheering them on. It was really fun to see people enjoying themselves and rooting for their team, like it was a World Cup match. I swear, we watched one soccer game, football game, between two teams, and the keeper on one of the teams was an abuela. She must have been in her 50s, gray-haired woman, and she was tough as nails. Boy, she would set her teeth into an opposing player, and she wouldn't let go. And people were yelling and screaming for her. It's like she was, this was really something. And the other thing I think was really interesting to me, again, was the games were played in venues by U.S. standards are pretty minimal in terms of creature comforts for people watching the games and playing the games. Lots of concrete seating if seating was available. Very minimal venues. But that didn't seem to keep people from having a great time or rooting for their team. In the evening, after the games, it was just wonderful. We walked out along the boardwalk on the playa at Puntarenas. And there's a large promenade, and there were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ticos wandering up and down the promenade, listening to music, dancing, and enjoying ice cream in the warm, warm tropical air. It was a very, very pleasant evening. This year, our homestay was several kilometers from San Ysidro. Last year, actually, we lived right in town and were able to walk to school. But this year, we were a little bit farther out, so we had to ride the bus to school every day. And buses are just a great way to get around in Costa Rica. They're convenient, they're comfortable, and safe, and cheap. And lots and lots and lots of Ticos ride the bus every day. So going home from school, we would board our bus at the central bus station in San Ysidro. It's a really big station, lots of buses, lots of people. And every day, our bus driver would stand by the door of his bus and greet each passenger as they got on with a ¿Cómo está? Hola. Some kind of a greeting. He'd pat me on the shoulder and say, amigo. He recognized everybody and he welcomed us to his bus. And once underway, our bus driver, he'd be sitting there singing to himself, joking with passengers. Now, he would stop to let people cross the street in front of the bus, wave to people on the street, laugh, just engage in a positive manner with just about everybody that he encountered. And at the same time, he drove his bus through the narrow, busy streets of San Ysidro with great care and skill. And, he just always seemed to me like he was really enjoying his day. He was having a great time driving his bus, talking to people, seeing the sights. He just seemed like a really happy and contented guy. And, when Christine and I got to San Ysidro in 2018, we spoke almost no Spanish when we started school 2 years ago. And when we first started practicing speaking the language outside of the classroom, we were just a little concerned that people might become kind of impatient with our efforts. We were absolutely wrong about that. For both years, people have been incredibly encouraging and supportive of our efforts to speak Spanish. Store clerks, wait staff in restaurants, police officers. We crossed the border into Panama and came back into Costa Rica this year, and even the immigration guy was complimentary when we spoke Spanish. And I remember, just a vignette just kind of comes into my head, that we shopped at a local farmer's market in San Ysidro. It's actually quite large. It's the biggest farmer's market I've ever been in. It's probably 200 vendors at least in a great big, large venue. And this year, our first visit, we went to the farmer's market and we bought some mangoes from a local vendor at the market. And one of the things that happens is that for non-native speakers like us, when somebody speaks Spanish, oftentimes they speak really fast. And it's really hard for us to understand. And sure enough, we got the mangoes and looked at the vendor and said, ¿cuánto? And she rattled off some cost in colones. And we were like, trying to figure it out. So anyway, that next couple of weeks, we really practiced our money, counting money, listening, making sure that we could understand how much was, when somebody said, 50 mil or whatever, we could really know what it meant. And so then we went back to the farmer's market, and it's a couple of weeks later, and we walk in, and there's that same person selling mangoes. And so we walked up to her and got some mangoes and said, ¿cuánto? And she said some number of colones. And we didn't bat an eye. We just opened up her purse and counted out the change, the right amount of colones, and handed them to her. And she looked at us and gave us this great big smile. And she said, muy bien español. She remembered us, remembered that we had struggled the last time we were there, realized that we didn't struggle this time, and gave us a compliment about our language. It was just, again, a very kind thing to do through a couple of foreigners struggling to speak Spanish. This year, after we finished Spanish school and then lived in San Ysidro for another month practicing Spanish, We drove the Pan American Highway south down to Pavones for another month of vacation. And on our way down to Pavones from San Ysidro, we decided to take a short detour. Well, we thought it was short, planned it to be short, to the Boruca Indigenous Reserve. It's in a remote location just northeast of Palomar Norte. And after visiting the Boruca community and museum, which I highly recommend, it's really an interesting experience, we started driving back toward the highway on a dirt road we came in on, missed an important turn, and ended up completely lost in a very sparsely populated area. After a few more miles of driving on a very rough dirt road, we came to a small village, really just a couple of houses and a church, and I realized that the right front tire of our rental car was flat. We pulled off the road in front of a small house, and I started changing the tire, all the while worrying that, one, we still didn't know exactly where we were, and two, we probably still had a long way to go on dirt roads with no spare, so what the heck would happen if we got another flat? Well, while I was thinking dire thoughts and changing the tire, Christine was talking to a little abuela, this little, she must have been at least 80, who had come out of the house while I was working. Christine told her about our plight, and she reached up and patted Christine on the cheek and said, "Don't worry, I will help you, and you can stay here tonight if you need to." She then went back inside the house, and a couple of minutes later came out with two glasses of ice-cold, freshly made lime fresca. It's kind of like a limeade, really tasty, and said a friend would be able to fix the tire. While Christine waited at the house, the abuela and I drove over to her friend's house. He took one look at the tire, hopped on his motorcycle and went somewhere to get some necessary tools, came back, and in a very short period of time had the tire fixed, filled with air, and back on our rental car. When I asked him how much I owed him, he gave me a big smile and said, $2,000, about $350 American, and then told me how to get back to the Pan American Highway. After taking that sweet little abuela home and thanking her profusely, Christina and I continued on our journey. Interestingly, that tire held up for the rest of our month-long trip, and we drove over some very rough roads with no problem whatsoever. I remember Santos, the guy who looked after the house we rented in Pavones this year, taking us down to the beach to watch the sunset a couple of evenings after we had arrived for the month. Santos is in his 50s and grew up in Pavones, a very small remote town on the Pacific coast a few kilometers from the border with Panama. We climbed a large rock and watched the sunset over the Osa Peninsula. Santos was very quiet as the sunset and said in an almost reflective tone, "La puesta del sol es muy linda." It was pretty obvious that watching the sunset was one of his more important daily rituals. A couple of days later, he showed up at our doorstep with some flowers he picked in the forest. He told us to put them in water and they would perfume the house. We did, and he was right. Their fragrance filled the house. Santos lives a very simple life. He doesn't have a lot of material possessions. His house is small and very sparsely furnished. He doesn't have a car and gets around on a small dirt bike, yet Santos is a content person. Most mornings, he goes surfing for a couple of hours before the wind picks up, and the rest of his days are spent working around the property, visiting his mom, or hanging out with friends. From everything we could see, Santos is a very happy, kind, and generous person. So just what have Christine and I learned from our experiences with Costa Ricans that can help us appreciate and understand just what Pura Vida means? Well, after 2 years, we certainly aren't experts on the subject, but I do think we have a better understanding than we did before we started visiting Costa Rica. And we both agree that while Costa Ricans may not have a lot of material possessions when compared to citizens of more affluent countries, they are rich in those things that truly make life worth living. Community, family, generosity, humor, kindness, compassion, and the ability to take time to appreciate the beauty that surrounds them. I don't want to imply that Costa Rica is some kind of Shangri-La with no problems or issues. Like any country, there are problems, including poverty, environmental protection, sustainable development, treatment of indigenous peoples. Unfortunately, a leader of a local indigenous group, the Bribri, was killed over property, land use issues while we were there, and illegal immigration from nearby Nicaragua. But because of their pride in their country, their sense of community, kindness, compassion for others, I think Ticos are likely to deal with these and any other issues that come up with courage, resourcefulness, and confidence. Oh, and joy. Pura vida! Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you'll return for the next episode of this short insert edition to meet Mickey. About 2 years ago, as a hospice volunteer, I spent several hours talking with Mickey, a hospice patient, about his life and recorded our conversation to create an audio life review for him and his family. After listening to his story, I decided to feature Mickey in a couple of podcast episodes. So come on back to meet Mickey on May 1st. You will be very glad you did. In keeping with the local folks' tradition, all of the music used in this podcast was composed and performed and recorded by local musicians here in Corvallis at Dave Storr's studio. So thank you, Dave. Thank you, all the rest of the fellas that were playing. I really appreciate it.
KBOO Portland.